May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. On Saturday, 8th November 2008, Finlay was born, and I had mentioned to us here that Finlay came to us, God gave us Finlay as a gift after 6 years of our marriage. And for some persons in the family, they were becoming a little bit worried about the delay because they expected it to happen. We're peaceful, we're relaxed, because we knew God would do it in his own time. When Finlay was born, we phoned Nigeria and informed the family. And as the practice is, they started dancing and singing. They sang all night on Saturday, and some managed to go to church on Sunday. In fact, it was an interesting singing, the way we were told, we weren't there. Because Favour's mom, with her party, with her team, started singing from somewhere, let's say somewhere from the entrance of entrance to Kaluk. And my mom and her team started singing from somewhere, from Obregend, and they sang and they met somewhere, and the party, you wouldn't know which party was singing louder. They kept singing and their voices were very loud, very, very loud. They were really excited about that, and it was the news that many of them expected to hear. In Jerusalem, the crowd gathered to celebrate the Passover feast, and when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they went out to greet him. The crowd shouted like the children were just shouting earlier. I'm sure some of us were a little bit uncomfortable, maybe, with the sound, because it wasn't an organized sound. So they were shouting and they were saying, "Help! Save us now, O Lord! Save us!" And indeed, Jesus came precisely to help and save. Though not as a political leader, as the crowd expected, but as a savior. Because God will always do it his own way, not our own way. Because God's way is different from our own ways. His thought, different from our own thought. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways and thoughts higher than our own thoughts and imagination. From where we read in John Gospel chapter 12, it describes the event that is commonly known as the triumphal entry. The event was Jesus' official presentation of himself to Israel as the Messiah and Son of God. By so doing, he set in motion the chain of events that finally led to his death. His death at the exact time ordained by God. Because the death of Christ was not by the schemes and imagination of the enemies. It was in accordance with the will and purpose of God. Our first reading in Isaiah contains the thought of what Bible scholars call the servant songs. They are poems or songs in Isaiah which told the Israelites some details of the coming Messiah. Isaiah is believed to have originally sung or chanted these prophecies to his contemporaries, probably in the temple court. The Messiah, according to the prophecy, will be the one to share the Father's message with the world. The Messiah's message, as we can see in the ministry of Jesus, was not always what the people wanted to hear. His message ultimately led to his death. Although Jesus knew this, but he never held back on his teaching. He went on speaking the mind of God to his people. While it is important to set the context within which this event took place, I think it is much more important to think about it at a personal level. How long has it been since we felt like shouting about Jesus? Let's maybe leave shouting, because perhaps that would not be a good word to use. At least saying something about Jesus, telling the stories of Jesus, how long has it been that you tried that? We Presbyterians perhaps are not too much on that anyway. There's a story of a lady who came into a Presbyterian congregation to worship for the first time. Every time the minister says something with which she agreed, she would shout it out, "Amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord." And I just thought, in case you want to shout praise the Lord as I'm speaking, please feel free to do that. Feel free to shout. But finally, one of the ushers came over to her and asked her to please keep quiet. She responded, "I just can't help myself. I have found Jesus." Now to this, the usher replied, "Well, you didn't find him here, so shut up." So you get to shut up. But I'm sure that many of us will find Jesus here. You can find Jesus here. Jesus is here. He's right there by your side. And so I'm sure the session will agree with me. If you feel like shouting, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen, go ahead and shout that. For some people, the hindrance to shouting is not just a function of culture or tradition. It's not about coming from a reserved tradition. Perhaps we are not inclined to shout so much anymore because we have been disappointed. That was the problem after Palm Sunday. The Jews were looking for a deliverer to lead them to a glorious victory over the hated legion of Rome. But they felt disappointed when they realized that the supposed deliverer was like none they had ever known before. And the disappointment they saw in Jesus moved them from Palm Sunday to Good Friday in a blink of an eye. Perhaps you or someone you know has been disappointed with the Lord, because the answer to a heartfelt prayer did not come in the way you expected it. A husband or a wife was not delivered from the cancer. A son or daughter was not kept free from drugs. A marriage that had begun with such high hope has crashed or is crashing. Or perhaps you have been disappointed with the church congregation. Disappointment because often the church is not what we expect it to be, and so we feel so disappointed. A few days ago, I was speaking with a friend in Nigeria who was lamenting, and I was almost breaking down over the phone, who would say, "I've been a good girl. I've lived so nicely. I've tried to protect myself. I've always prayed. But it looks like the more I pray, the tougher things become." Perhaps you might be in that kind of situation. And some of these things can stop joyful shouting very quickly. Maybe that is why we need a day like Palm Sunday. Just like we need time for family celebrations of birthday, even funerals. In the last funeral we had, we called this celebration of life. And the songs we sang, even though we were crying, but it was all praise to God who kept my father for 79 years. Palm Sunday is here to remind us that in spite of everything that might turn to dust, our shout, to zip our lips, to steal our zeal or our joy. In spite of everything, the news we have is still good news, and we should not keep quiet about it. We have a joyful news, a glorious news from our Lord Jesus Christ. Edward Joseph Burns in CH4363 writes, "We have a gospel to proclaim, a good news for all throughout the earth, the gospel of a Savior's name. We sing his glory, tell his word." We have a story to tell, a story of God's amazing grace, how he has kept us even when we have walked through the valleys of the shadow of death. He has not withdrawn himself from us. He's been by our side every step along the way. Like Jesus Christ, we must be willing to share the gospel message, encourage and admonish each other, use our communication to build the kingdom on this day, as with every other day. God invites us to joyfully spread the news. The news about God's unconditional love. The news about God's reign, his sovereignty, his unfailing, his unending love to the world. And that's the message for Palm Sunday. Spread the joy, spread the news. Amen.